This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to Enterprise BizBytes on this Friday, the 19th of February, 2021. It is 12:37, very shortly coming up to 12:38. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with...
Christine Wong.
Arvind Yuvaraj.
We're going to have a quick update from Bursa at break, courtesy of Arvind Yuvaraj.
It is up by 0.21% at 1,579 points. Active stocks are Dagang Next Change, Managed Space Systems and EA Holdings Berhad. The ringgit is at 4.04 against the US dollar. It is at 3.13 against the Aussie dollar and 3.04 against the Sing dollar.
Chris picked up an article via Fast Company recently about the increase of misinformation and disinformation spreading rapidly through social media and its effects not only on people's beliefs, but even on a wider scale to politics and culture. Do we need to start regulating a level of media literacy for social media users? That's why we're asking, should you have to take a media literacy test before using social media? Why or why not? The numbers are...
50 and 50. It's split down the middle. I don't think we've ever had a poll that's been split down the middle.
I don't think we ever have, no.
Yeah. A couple of tweets from Jackie Chan who says, don't make yourself a free product for the social media giants, kids. To which I would argue, I think we're already products. It's just time to jack up the price a bit. How much they want to buy us for. Drisk says, media literacy test is good, but not for all social media audience. It must be specific tests with a purpose. Susilan says, rational thinker, make healthy conversation. And Afik says, it should, because in the era of misinformation and fake news, a generation with media literacy could really ensure the future.
Interesting. Over to Maggie Best on WhatsApp, who says, the problem is not media literacy. The issue is whether one is responsible or not. So it is education beginning from the cradle right through formal education. There's also the other factors like whether one is prone to gossip or likes being in the limelight or the first to pass juicy tidbits. Us boomers used to only believe in information or news from recognised, also known as reputable, responsible media, like newspapers or the TV. Any media that focuses so much on sensationalism will never be taken seriously. Looks like old school ways are comparatively much safer. To that, I would say, Maggie, you have to remember that those old school things like newspapers and TVs also had their own agenda. You know, they were funded, some of them, by government bodies. They were also funded, some of them, by wealthy businessmen who have, in fact, their own agenda and want to move policy on one thing or another. So just saying that they're much safer, I can't say I 100% agree with that.
It's a maybe or maybe not.
Yeah. Right. Moving on.
So moving on, this is a story about McDonald's and how they've sort of started linking bonuses, executive bonuses more specifically, to diversity, and they're also releasing workforce data. So McDonald's announced on Thursday that it will tie executive bonuses to new goals for diversifying the company and for the first time publicly released demographic details of its workforce. Under the new rules, its CEO Chris Kempczinski stands to lose 15% of his approximately $2.25 million US dollar annual bonus if he fails to meet goals to increase the portion of women and blacks, Hispanics, Asians, and other minorities in senior leadership roles. So I think the keyword is senior leadership roles, not just hiring for the sake of hiring. As activists have called for more transparency, companies are increasingly reporting demographic data for their workforces and tying executive pay to diversification goals. On the flip side, Starbucks also linked compensation to the diversity goals, but did not provide details on how these goals would be weighted in performance reviews. So that's still a bit vague. McDonald's said that it aimed to boost women in leadership roles, senior director and above, from 37% to 45% globally by the end of 2025. And it also said it would increase the portion of historically underrepresented groups in such leadership roles in the US specifically from 29%, where it now stands, to 35% in the next 5 years. So this article comes from CNA, and they sort of broke it down this way. And according to the data released on Wednesday, black people comprise of 10% of McDonald's senior level management, higher than the 7% as reported by other restaurant chains that also disclosed such data to the federal government in 2018. So I bring this up because I wanted to know what you guys think.
I was going to ask you first.
About this?
Yeah.
Okay. So,
tells me that you have some reservations.
Reservations. So progress is progress.
Agreed.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know about the idea of paying someone to care about diversity and hiring people who generally would not have been hired before because of either company policies or just outright blatant racism or whatever it was, you know, just whatever the system was bad at. I think it's a thing that starts from the grassroots and you have to like understand it genuinely. It's a very human thing. And I don't know how to feel about threatening a company or its executives with a pay cut if they don't hire people like in the US alone, like African Americans or women or Asians or minorities. You shouldn't have to be, you know, you shouldn't have to have your salary like pointed at and go like hire or we'll cut. You know what I mean? It's supposed to be a genuine organic thing that you understand.
Yeah. Chris?
At the same time though, although I agree that maybe salary shouldn't be the thing that's attacked perhaps, but I think that it's one of those situations in which, you know, if they've, I feel like this is a point that they've dangled a carrot and it didn't work, right? You know, it's not, this is, I think, more aimed at people who, you know, even though they know that diversity is actually better for business, right? Like, as has been talked about by many experts that we've spoken to, diversity and inclusion actually end up in your business being a better and more successful organization. But it's for people, I think, who are, who'd still ignore that and still inclined towards not even confronting their own biases. I think that's kind of, they're trying in a way to introduce a stick as opposed to a carrot, you know. I don't agree necessarily that salary should be affected, but I think it's just a matter of, you know, they're trying to find something more concrete to sort of, I guess, like, encourage.
To drive the change.
Yeah, to drive an actual change and not, like you said, just making diversity hires for the sake of making diversity hires.
Ooh, this is a can of worm show through and through today, right? I mean, I'm echoing what Chris says. You know, diversity is something that is extremely useful and powerful in a workplace and has been shown, as she said, on and is backed by much research. But it's also shown that just hiring people for the sake of hiring has a negative impact on your business as well. And I think my worry is that's what's going to happen. You know, it's not going to be if you hire the best of the best of these people that are from those minority groups, right? And if that's the case, then great. But that's not always going to be the case. You're not always going to get the cream of the crop to be able to hire, right? You're going to have to hire whoever is available at that period of time, right? And they might not necessarily be the best person for that role. But because you have been told that you have to hire X, Y, and Z.
Otherwise the pay gets
otherwise your pay is going to get cut.
Yeah.
You're going to hire these people, right? Which is going to have detrimental effects on the way in which the company works.
I think basically the conclusion is like diversity is great, but do not token hire.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's the best nutshell.
This is dangerous. Right. Question. Should you have to take a media literacy test before using social media? Yes or no? Why or why not? 50-50 split on the vote so far on Twitter. Let us know what you think. Add your votes to those numbers. We've got just over 100 votes. When we come back, we're going to have the final story of the day. It's all about learning to drive in some parts of China using a essentially what is a video game. We're going to have some music from Father John Misty with Date Night here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.